So, these are just 5 questions about the Gospels in general. Okay? Now, question number 1. Do you know what is the shortest Gospel? From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is the shortest? If you've been in Novizetia for more than 10 years, you probably should know that. That's a hint. Number 2. Which of the gospel books was written primarily to the Jews? Number 3. If you don't know the shortest one, maybe you know the longest one. Which was one is the longest? Number 4. There's only one of the Gospels that was written by a Gentile. Which one? Number 5. There is only one of the books that tells the story of Peter walking on the water.
Govori o primjeru Petra, koji kračao na vodi.
Any idea?
Je tekto?
And they're not all the same answer. I'll give you that hint.
Nije to jedina odpoved na všetky tie otázky. Tak chcete nám povedať?
Okay, number 1. What's the shortest? Mark. Yes. Number 2. Which is written primarily to Jews? Matthew. Yes, good. Number 3. Which is the longest? Luke. Luke is the longest. Number 4. Who was the Gentile writer? Luke. Yeah, Luke. And which one wrote about Peter walking on the water? Matthew. Matthew. The reason I didn't give you all from Matthew is because I thought some of you probably heard that we were doing a study on Matthew. That's the reason I didn't give them all questions from Matthew. Because today we're beginning a study series on the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. So, it's interesting, we don't have really clear evidence in the book of Matthew that he wrote it. He didn't sign his name. He didn't clearly refer to himself in the book.
jak w tej knihe sam seba nie znaczył.
But we do know that the early church strongly believed that the that Matthew wrote this gospel.
Ale wiemy, że prwa cyrkiew ogólnie silnie była przeświadczona, że to było napisane.
We know that Matthew was one of the disciples, 12 disciples of Jesus.
Wiemy, że Matthew był jeden z 12 uczniów.
And he's also called Levi in Mark and Luke. Mark and Luke refer to him as Levi, which is very confusing. I don't know if it was just a nickname or another name. So that could be very confusing. But Matthew wrote one of the four accounts that we know of the life and ministry of Jesus. And when you think about somebody writing something like this, why would somebody write a piece of history like this? Why do you think, if you could put yourself in his place, okay.
People have been asking lots of questions about Jesus.
It's speculated, and there's a lot of speculation about when it was written. But usually, they believe that it was written before 70 AD at least. That's 40 years. Up to 40 years after the death of Jesus. And the main reason that they speculate that is because there were that 70 AD is when the temple was destroyed by the Romans. And as a Jewish writer, they imagined that if he had lived through the time of the destruction of the temple, certainly he would have said something about it. So that's kind of a bookmark on the end of the time period when probably it was written, at least by 70. But it could have been written earlier, closer to the time of Jesus. But I feel like, we don't know Matthew's thinking behind, you know, all of his thinking behind why he wrote it.
Nie wiemy wszystko to myślenie ma tu, nie poznamy za tym, czy wszystko, na co wszystko myślał, kiedy to pisał.
But obviously he wanted people to remember what he had experienced.
Chciał, aby ludzie pamiętali na tym, co on zażył.
And when you think about it, the reason that we have what we know about Jesus is because of what he wrote.
Okay, na to uważam, tak właśnie dowodem, że co my wiemy o Jezusie nową i to, co on napisał.
In part. because there were more who wrote. But now we have just been past the stories that he wrote.
And
it's interesting to think about the fact that we are still passing on the stories that he told us. And when we tell stories to our children, or when we teach in D Club or in MCO, or we're using the stories that Matthew wrote. When we have youth group or when we have camps, we are trying to pass on those same stories that he wrote to us. So it's about passing the story. Now, it's not just about passing a story, because we know it's more than just children memorizing stories. But it's the beginning of passing on something, passing on our faith to another generation. And of course, there's no guarantee that when we pass the story that they're going to follow the faith. But still, that's where we start, is with the stories. I remember with our kids, I think we did it naturally because that's what was done with us. Well, at least with me. My parents were believers and they told us stories, Bible stories, from the very beginning. Kim's parents were not, and so she got her stories from Sunday school when she started going to church. But we just did it naturally with our kids, it seemed like. There was no big debate about in our family whether we should have Bible stories for children. It was just the naturally what we did. And so I found some of these books. Here was my first Bible. And so, you know, there's pictures, just pictures. Well, and one word, you know, the wild animals in the Bible. That's a good one for boys, yeah. And domestic animals in the Bible. And then the birth of Jesus. Just pictures and one word. But, of course, here's about the houses, Jewish houses, I suppose. Bugs, different bugs in the Bible. It's cleverly written for children, yeah. So there's a fly, a bee, a fish, or like a minnow, locust, And of course, each one has a story behind it. So whichever one, here's colors, but also fruit. So a parent could choose any one of these and tell a story, a Bible story behind this. So that's what we did with our children. And then here's just a Bible story book with small stories. Just two or three page stories. Here's another one we used with the flaps, you know, the flaps that you can open. This was a favorite.
To był taki oblubiona książka.
Where'd she go? Yeah.
Went to cry.
To find all of the flaps was a big challenge. But super. All of the Bible stories there. David and Goliath. Goliath falls down. So, this is what we do from the beginning, is we pass stories to our children. When you think back about your life as a child, did anybody tell you Bible stories?
Have you learned child, the children?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Nobody. My mother cursed me like, you are the trumpet of Jericho. It was a curse. I don't know if the Jericho grew. It was a curse, actually.
Uh-huh.
Or bad word, you know.
Yeah.
Not the only story I've got.
Yeah, I got one. Okay, somebody else? Who was told the story or not? Okay, Pete, maybe you've heard?
I think I knew one of them. I don't
know. Okay, your parents?
Yeah.
When would they tell you stories?
Bedtime,
sure. And did you have books or did you just... Books. Okay. Sorry?
From when they're a baby, you can get little cloth books.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy?
Yeah, my dad, he was bedtime. But he would use just the Bible. Not really, you know. But eventually, he was really rich for our lives.
Great. Somebody else? Nothing.
Yes.
Wait, Alina, just a second. And did you have stories in church? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you?
School.
Just school.
I had a really good Sunday school, good teachers.
So, but at home as well?
I don't know who comes in the Bible.
Billy?
Yeah, yes. Another one is for like, because I'm not going to stay from the school. Mostly trying to help, like, songs with the Bible, stories or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
nie bola absolútne dotknutá ničím, pretože som diastla v neveriacom prostredí, iba dokonca často v tvrdej normalizácie, kedy škola musela nahlasovať zoznam detí, ktoré chodia na náboženstvo. Niektoré deti chodili na náboženstvo, ale bolo to riešené ako krúžok po vyučovaní. Náboženstvo vychovávala po vyučovaní a deti, ktoré sa zúčastňovali, boli nahlasované niekde na nejaký úrad. Čiže automaticky každý mal kádrovú škvrnu v papieroch. Kádrovú škvrnu, čo znamenalo dôsledky, keď ich chceli študovať. Takže proste takéto som zažila ja v Mordestve a nikto mi nehovoril žiadne príbehy, ani starí rodičia dokonca. Takže
vôbec nedoskúta. And if you could go for it, but you would ask him travel, of course.
Dokonca to bola taká atmosféra strachu. Mám tam také, moji rodičia mali dobrých priateľov, ktorí by sa naštevovali pravidelne. A vždy na štedrý deň, na štedrý večer, títo priateľia prichádzali k nám do bytu, v paneláku. A ešte pred dverami ten Ujo začal spievať Narodil sa Kristus Pán, radujme sa. Otec rýchlo utekal ku dverám, a rýchlo ich ťahol dnu, aby to nebolo v tom panelánku počuť na schodok, že on spieva
Narodil sa Kristus Pán. A nebolo ich našal. I'm sorry. Can you just summarize that for them?
They didn't. So it was a very tough time, and during communism, it was a fear, and you could have teachings for kids. It was 1:30, it was after school, but those kids would have to be reported, and it would be written to your kind of secret papers, which were attached to you, and you couldn't get to schools later and so on. And so they had a good friend and a family, they came to visit on the Christmas day, and then they started in front of the door of the local church, and they started to sing carol with Jesus was born, and then the father immediately run to open the door and to grab them in so that neighbors would not hear this text because it was kind of dangerous to proclaim.
So I was just really fascinated in thinking about this idea that it's just about passing stories.
Takže mňa to tak nadchlo, tá myšlienka, že je to o odovzdávaní si príbehov.
And that we still pass the stories today.
Ďalej, pokračujeme v tom, že odovzdávame ďalej príbehy.
Especially to children.
Hlavne deťom.
Except,
okrem,
this was not intended to be children's stories.
Toho, že teda to neboli príbehy pre deti.
These were adult stories.
To boli príbehy pre dospelých.
And so, well, that was a new thought as well for me.
Pre mňa taká ďalšia nová myšlienka.
And so, I really want us to let Matthew's stories to inspire us to continue to tell stories. As we listen to these stories, let's just ask God, let me tell these stories again. And it's a little bit strange to think about saying a story, a Bible story to my neighbor through the fence, you know. But why not? I think it could be interesting for people just to hear the stories again of Jesus. Maybe they've never heard. And at least it would be something interesting. And so I want this to all of this study to inspire us to tell stories again. And it could start as simply as, have you ever heard the story of so-and-so? It could be to a child, it could be to a neighbor, it could be to a co-worker, it could be to a family member. And they would either say, it seemed like I do remember that, or I don't think I ever did hear that. Either way, we could be able to tell the story again. Which essentially is, in some form, making disciples. Which is interesting that this is what Matthew says at the end of his book. He repeats Jesus' command to us. Go and make disciples. And his insinuation was, you've seen me now, you've heard everything I've said. Now go and repeat it to all nations. And so the core really of that is about stories, which I think is really interesting. So do you tell stories? Do we tell stories? No? I think we tell stories all the time. We may not tell Bible stories, but what stories do we tell? Well, but even more generally than spiritual stories.
Our life's a story, isn't it?
Okay, we can tell something about our life, our history.
What happened to
work?
Yeah, work stories. Like sickness stories. When we're sick, we tell everybody, don't we? He already told us this story of his sickness this morning. And how he was, how he thought he got it, how he's suffering now with Fight Club. And, it was just a little short story. Or if we have some accident or we hurt ourselves, we repeat that story over and over. What else do we tell stories about?
When something is failing, happening to
us.
Yes, like what?
Can you tell us what we did?
I got a job.
Okay.
I get a raise. I met somebody who really
is close.
Okay, sure. Good. Or?
People around us.
Okay, some people that we met. Or something that they did.
Interesting, old people have big stories. They repeat all connected with the most important story. My grandfather from the Second World War.
Yeah, war stories, super.
My father said that he was in the war, and some people have a lot of people. Taki ten kluczowy životný jeden príbeh, ktorý opakuje stále.
I find myself talking a lot about food stories. Something that I grilled or something that Kim cooked. Or some restaurant that we ate. Oh, you won't believe how horrible that food was. Or it was so good. It was amazing. You have to go there. And we will tell every detail of the story. So we're naturally a storyteller. So a question is, are we able to tell spiritual stories from, for example, the gospel? Just something for us to think about as we go through this series. Interesting to also think about the fact that there are four different accounts of this same person, ministry, and life. Some people point to that and say, this is really weird, because why would they write four different stories of the same thing? And they cast doubt on whether some of them are really authentic, because they're different. And there's different details in the books. And so they say, see, this can't really be true, because there's all these different perspectives. So that's why I brought these bicycles today. I was trying to bring four bicycles, but Rosemary didn't have bicycles. Why don't your children have bicycles, Rosemary? Why your children don't have bicycles?
Because we've looked there on the victim. Okay. So you don't have two. Hello? That's one story.
You don't have kids? Rather, you have good children?
Okay,
so here are two different bicycles. But they have completely different characteristics. But why do they have different characteristics? Because they're for different people. This is a woman's bike. I'm not sure that I can explain all the details of these bikes. Because I never thought that it made sense that the woman had this opening here. I always felt like it was more important for the man to have the open than the woman. But some people have said, you know, it's because of the skirt or whatever, but it doesn't really make sense. So to me, but it's a little bit smaller. Some women might take offense at that, but usually, women's bikes are smaller. Bigger seat. I don't know anything. I don't really understand that. But then here's a totally different details. This is a trick, like a trick bike.
To je jako trik.
To je taký sportový nějaký trikový. And the seat is down low.
sedla veľmi nízko.
Some don't even have seats.
Niektoré ani nemajú.
Because it's not meant to be sat on, really.
Lebo na tom sa nemali.
It's just meant to be
na tom takto.
Because generally you don't sit on the seat. But actually your feet are supposed to go here, you know.
Actually you might have to go.
And then you can do all kinds of things, you know, from the back.
That's why I didn't
read
kids bikes. I was afraid that you will break it.
In fact, if somebody would like to take this for their children, I would appreciate it getting out of my basement. We don't use it anymore. But you don't say that this is not a bicycle because it has different characteristics than this one. It has different characteristics because it was made for some particular purpose and person. And that's exactly what we find with the Gospels. They were written for specific purposes, for specific people. And therefore, they have completely different characteristics. From the same idea, Jesus, his life, his ministry.
Z toho príbehu, alebo v podstate, že Ježiš, to je ten príbeh, ten nadpis Ježiš a jeho služba.
So as we said before, the audience,
povedali sme predtým,
the audience of the book of Matthew are the Jewish people.
Ale ten adresát, ktorému bola kniha napísaná, sú Židia. Kniha Židov, kniha Matúšovej Evangelia.
And the purpose of the book of Matthew was to show Jesus as the Messiah of the Jewish people. Now, why would it be necessary to write a book specifically to the Jews?
Napísať knihu speciálne pre Židov.
The thought processes and teaching from the youngsters be different.
And why would it be different?
Just like I came from sort of Old Testament, following people.
Že mala ten to učenie, ktoré mali ľudí, Židov je úplne iné. A oni majú pozadie
Okay, any other thought about why it would be necessary to write one specifically for Jews? Yeah, okay. So you can imagine with Jews and all of the history of Jewish nations, the Old Testament, all of that information has an impact on the Messiah and the life of Jesus.
Čiže veľa tých príbehov z starozákona majú vzťah k Ježišovi ako Mesiášovi.
If you're just speaking to Gentiles, it makes sense, right? Like, they don't have any of that baggage, if you want to call it that. They don't have any of that history that needs to be connected with this. It is connected. But you don't have to start with all of that with Gentiles. So you can imagine that starting the starting place with a Jew would be a completely different starting place for a Gentile.
Можете си уведомить, че тен уводни бот, ако значите, ужида биде упоредини ако упоредни.
And that's, in essence, what we find in the different Gospels. It's interesting just to look at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is actually the only text we're going to look at today, because this is just an introduction to the book of Matthew. But it says, chapter 1, verse 1, you can read it, Zenka.
Rodok Ježiša Krista, syna Dávidovho, syna Abrahamovho. Abraham...
Just first verse. Okay, so here he's making the connection already, you can see. Jesus, back to David, all the way back to the father of Jews. And so Matthew is, he's really introducing a person. And he has a purpose for introducing this person, Jesus. It reminded me, as I was thinking about it, about how of political candidates are introduced to us. Sometimes candidates come up, you know, they run for mayor, we don't know them at all. And so somebody goes to lots of work to explain to us, who are these people? Where did they come from? What are their credentials? So that we would believe in them. But so that we would vote based on our belief, right? So something similar is going on here. 28 chapters long. It's not specifically, like, strictly chronological. And when you compare Matthew to the other Gospels, you'll find things flipped all around. And some people have criticized the books, saying, haha, look at this. They didn't have any idea what the order it came in. But that's not the purpose in them writing was not chronology.
And this is a part of Jewish thinking. So they think it was cycles.
Yes. So that because they weren't thinking that way, it wasn't important. It wasn't the most important thing to them. But there is a general chronology in the sense that it starts with birth and it ends with death, burial, and resurrection. So there is this progression. Now, if you start studying the book of Matthew while we're studying, You'll often quickly run into this huge debate about who was first, who wrote first, did somebody later copy from this person?
Так то скоро прийдете до нас дебату, вже до вас не прийде написав, хто ви прийде, а хто потім заінспірував, копіював.
And there's been mountains of things written about trying to figure out who was first, who copied from who. And some of it is interesting. Other parts of it have been used to discredit the Gospels.
Týchto vecí napísaných boli vlastne používané ako materiál na diskreditáciu.
Because in fact,
lebo
much of Mark is found in Matthew.
Veľká časť Marka je v Matúšu.
Sometimes, like verbatim.
Niekde úplne presne to isté to slovo.
In fact, mathematically, 91% of Mark is found in Matthew. So some people would say, yeah, see, they just copied each other. They weren't really an eyewitness. But it's just depends on how you look at it. It could be also very simply that Matthew wanted to make sure that his account made sense with Mark's account, if in fact they used each other's account. So there's good reasons to think why they would have borrowed information from each other. But it was obviously that they didn't want to just copy everything. Because in the end they had their own stories, their own perspectives that they felt free to tell. I wanted to make you aware of that in case you run into all of that debate. It's called the synoptic argument. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels. Synoptic means, what does it mean?
It's
like synchronized.
Yeah.
So it's they seem to have synchronized what they saw. But John is a different kind of different category. All right, I just wanted to speak a little bit about the historical context. But I also wanted you to help me about the historical context. So can you just think with me about what was the historical context of this time period? Specifically, we're talking about after the death of Jesus, yeah?
Maybe we can just start with political.
What was political situation?
Romans.
But Rome was a long ways away. So why do we say Romans?
Rímania boli ďaleko na východ, na západ, takže prečo hovoríme o Rímanom?
Yeah, so this was the empire of Rome,
the Rímske imperium.
And I'm not a scholar of Roman history, but I just understand that these areas of the world were under their power.
Takže nie som úplne odborník na Rímske imperium, ale rozumiem tomu, že tieto územia boli pod
They conquered them. They conquered them and they would put somebody of their people in charge.
Takže si ich podmanili a ustanovili nejakých svojich ľudí.
And so that's why we read in the New Testament that in the Jesus story that there was this Roman government there. But there was also Jewish government, also local Jewish kind of government. So it's somehow similar to Kim and I going to Bratislava for the day.
Je to niečo podobné, ako keď ja s tým ideme do Bratislavy.
And we leave Gwyneth in charge at home.
My necháme doma a sa starala a no, na starosti.
It's not easy for her.
Pre ní to nie je ľahké.
Because she's not even the parent.
Ona nie je ani rodič.
But we've only blessed her with the authority for the day. So you can imagine how that's not a very strong sort of organization and authority. Because, hey, you're not actually the parent. You can't tell me what to do. So you find that sort of feeling, that same feeling in these Gospels where the Romans have given power to some people and just left them there. And they, of course, left a bunch of soldiers there to help keep the order. So that was the sort of the political environment at that time.
Okay.
What else would you add to the historical situation? Sorry?
Vyhnaní Židia. Jews cast out. Ale to je až potom, nie? Ustane sa to. I think it happened in the 70s, so they had to see.
Yeah, and that was 70. So, yes, well, we know that in 70 AD, like I said before, there was, I mean, it's a big story, but there was a Jewish rebellion, and the Romans had to come in and put everything down. And at that time, it looked like they were so disgusted with the Jewish rebellions that they just decided to destroy everything. And in the end, the temple
of the Chram
was destroyed. So that was 70. So we're thinking that this was written before that time, though.
All
right. So, but you had Jews, and you had Gentiles, of course. But there were some subsets of these, of course. Because you had Christian Jews,
like Christianski Jidov,
and you had non-Christian
Jews. there was Sadducees and Pharisees.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had a whole group of people who there were no 3,000 at least accepted Minimum Christ on Pentecost.
Которые приняли Христа на подчас кенути.
But the much larger group of people were the non-Christian Jews. Who they had rejected Jesus. Then on the Gentile side, you had basically the same. You had Christian Gentiles.
A mezi pohany
non-Christian.
Křesťanou, pohanou a nekřesťanou pohanou.
So, who do you think this book was written for? From these four groups. Well, probably at this side, but do you have a feeling about who would it be most for? Yeah, I would feel the same. So you can imagine what Matthew might have felt like.
Takže můžete si představit, jako se asi Matouš cítil.
That you have, he is a part of this group of people who accepted Jesus as Messiah.
Je to této skupině lidí, kteří přijali Ježíše jako Mesiáše.
But there's this whole much larger group.
Ale je to ona větší skupina.
Who they're still the rejecters. Or the skeptics about who Jesus was. But they're everywhere. They're still everywhere. And we know that definitely there's some hostility toward between these two. But for sure, we understand that there is this ongoing effort to try to speak to this group of people about the Jesus that's already gone. And then, of course, you know, you've got this other group that's in the mix. You've got these two who are in unity, well, sort of, in unity. You know, this was the book of Romans, right? We just went through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about these two groups trying to exist together in Rome. So we know it's not exactly simple. But so this is the context that Matthew and the other disciples were living in after Jesus left. Here's just one other issue. Just a small thing. No, but terrible thing that these guys, these people were some of those people, like I was saying about Gwinnett, they were left in charge of the people to collect the money.
istou pravotou vyberať peniaze.
So you can imagine, Gwyneth's already not popular because she was left in charge, period.
Gwyneth už nie je populárna, lebo sme to nechali ísť autoritou.
But now, she's supposed to squeeze money out of people, that's even worse.
Ešte musí vyberať peniaze, to je ešte lepšie.
So this is the kind of reputation and situation that the tax collector was in. And so that is also, we need to add that to the mix with Matthew and his role. All right, last point is that what can we expect to find in this book as we study?
Čo môžeme v tejto knihe očakávať, keď budeme študovať?
Well, I just wrote down a few things.
Napísal som si zo pár vecí.
We have eyewitness accounts of a person who about a person that we want to be like.
Máme tu očité svedectvo o osobe, s ktorou sa my chceme stotožniť, chceme byť ako Ježiš.
It's an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ.
Je to očité svedectvo o Ježišovi Kristovi.
And that's who we're trying to live for and live like.
Žiť pre Neho a tak ako On.
So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to review all those things about Jesus that we want to be like.
Všetky tieto veci si tak nejak pripomínať o človeku, o osobe, s ktorou sa chceme stotožniť.
It's also an eyewitness account of the person who gave his life for us.
Ktorá dala za nás život.
He's our hero. He's our savior. He's our friend.
On je našim hrdinom, našim záchrancom, našim priateľom.
It's a wonderful opportunity for us to revisit who is this person that's my savior. And then, of course, there will be plenty of challenges that Jesus gave to the people of that day.
Samozrejme, tam veľa víziev, ktoré dal Ježiš ľuďom tej doby.
Which means he's going to get in our face as well. So we can expect that when you come back, Jesus is going to be in your face saying,
what are you thinking?
How can you live this way? How can you act this way? Or have you considered that I am this way, or I think about you this way? So I think that we can expect that as we study the book. And then, of course, there will be reminders about who and what we believe in.
Takisto také pripomienky toho, čo, komu a čo veríme.
And why.
A prečo.
Why do we believe these things?
Prečo veríme tieto veci.
All right, now I just want to give you a little teaser about next week.
Vám dať takú uputavku na budúci týždeň.
Next week, if you look on your first chapter of Matthew,
sa pozrite na prvú kapitolu,
you've got 17 verses of genealogies.
17 veršov rodokmeňov.
Looks really great, yeah?
Vyzerá dobre, že?
But I just want to point out one thing as a teaser for next week.
Ale chcem tam povedať takú uputavku na budúci týždeň.
There are, interestingly, 5 women who are mentioned in this genealogy.
Zaujímavé, že tu je v tejto v tomto rodokmení je spomenutých 5 žien.
And there are some pretty interesting stories there.
A sú veľmi zaujímavé príbehy.
The more interesting thing to me is
zaujímavé, že pre mňa je
that in Luke's genealogies,
you
know how many women there are? Basically, none of these almost. So how is it possible that you have two genealogies and then why are all these women mentioned there? I'm not sure I know the answer, but we'll talk about it more next week. So I hope that you'll make a commitment to being here for the next, I would say, well, this is our plan. This is our plan.
Наш план такой же.
That we'll do probably half of the book before Christmas, then we'll take some time off for the holidays. And at some point we'll pick it up again and finish. So I would encourage you, think about it in terms of I need to be here. This is I wanna focus my attention on this for the next 10 weeks or whatever.
So свою позорність зазвичай на тобто ти пара за тиждень.
I want to commit myself to responding to what God brings to my heart in this time. I'll just give you just a minute to pray and just prepare your heart for this next few weeks and ask God to continue to teach us and lead us in this time. Father, we come to you today as broken people, all of us, and as we come to this text, we all have struggles, we all have weaknesses and preoccupations, and we're dragging idols with us through life. And so we stop and humbly ask you to draw us into this study of the Gospels and teach us, challenge us, and change us during these next few weeks, we pray, for your glory and for the health and life of your church here. In Jesus' name, amen.